My name is John Erling, and today's date is April 23rd, 2010. Jim, would you state your full name, please, and your date of birth and your present age?
I'm Jim Halsey. My date of birth is October 7, 1930, so I'm 79 years old right now.
I got to say, you don't look 79 years old at all.
Well, stay busy.
Where are we recording this interview?
We're recording it in our building in Mounds, Oklahoma. It's not really an office. It's kind of a quasi-museum and storage place.
Let's go to the beginning. Where were you born?
I was born in Independence, Kansas, which is north of Tulsa, about 75, 80 miles on Highway 75.
Talk about your mother. Your mother's name?
My mother's name was Carrie Messick Halsey.
Was she born in Kansas?
No, she was born in South Keeney, Indian Territory. In 1902.
Here in Oklahoma?
In Oklahoma, right. And my dad was born in Chautauqua, Kansas. My family has a long history in Kansas, the Halsey part of it, as my great-grandfather ran a stagecoach line from Fort Scott, Baxter Springs, to Oswego, to Chautauqua, Kansas. The railroad ended at Fort Scott at that time. This is like in the 1870s. He would pick them up in this beautiful stagecoach and bring them on to Oswego and Chautauqua. And then my grandfather and my great uncle, Harry Halsey and Will Halsey, William Halsey, moved to Independence, Kansas in the early 1900s and opened the Halsey Brothers department store in 1907. That's where I grew up. I was born in 1930, and of course the store was up and running in full blast, and that was during the Depression, but we still maintain the store open.
Back to your mother then. She was born in Indian Territory.
Right.
Was she a Cherokee then?
Well, that's where I got my Cherokee blood. My mother was a quarter, so I'm an eighth Cherokee.
Then your father's name?
Harry Halsey. Harry E. Halsey.
And he came from where?
He was born in Chautauqua, Kansas.
How was it that your mother and your father ever meet?
Well, my mother eventually became a registered nurse and worked at the Mercy Hospital in Independence, Kansas. And that's where my dad and my mother met.
Then you've already alluded to, but tell us again what your father did for a living.
Well, he was in the Halsey department store. He was one of the marketers and advertisers, creative people there. He was a great designer of windows. People would come from all over southeastern Kansas and northeastern Oklahoma to see the Halsey Brothers department store windows because they were something like out of Kansas City or Tulsa, and they were beautiful. But that's where I got my main interest early on in selling and marketing, hanging around the store.
At a very early age.
Right. I was there all the time and even delivered packages when I had my BISO.
Your elementary school was what?
The Washington School in Independence, Kansas.
And then you went to junior high school there?
Right, in high school, and went to the Independence Junior College. I went to Kansas University for a little bit. That's where I got my education, or part of it anyway.
Your brothers and sisters?
I had a brother, William, and he was in the store, and eventually he became involved with the Sinclair Oil Company.
Music that you grew up with, that you remember junior high and high school, who were some of your favorites?
Of course, I grew up with Bob Wills and his Texas Playboys because of KVOO's daily broadcast. But I liked the jazzy swing part of that and all the solos and the inspiration that came from that. But I was a big band listener. I hung out at the record stores, and it was Woody Herman and Stan Kenton and Duke Ellington and Count Basie and Lionel Hampton and all of those great big bands. And I was a player myself. I played saxophone and thought I wanted to make music my career until I graduated from high school. And that summer I went around and saw some big band. I saw Woody Herman's band. I saw Duke Ellington's band and Johnny Hodges playing saxophone. I knew right then if I lived to be 1,000, I'd never be good enough to play like those guys play.
But that was a dream at first.
That was a dream. But also in high school, I read a book in my senior year that I made a book report on called Saul Hurok, Impresario. He was a great impresario that brought all the great Russian acts, the dancers, the ballet companies to the United States. He was Russian himself. He was the only one that really imported them here. And I thought, that's a glamorous life. I think maybe I'll become an impresario.
What is an impresario?
An impresario is a presenter of performers, artists, and shows. Now, Roy Clark tells the story that during that time I went to these bands and I would see the band all get off the big band bus and go in and set their stuff up, and there was always a Cadillac parked around somewhere. And I asked somebody, I said, "Who's that Cadillac belong to?" They said, "That's the band manager." And Roy said, "That's what got me interested in being a manager." Now, maybe that's partly true or not, but he has a good time telling that story.
So that book, then, was a change for you in your life.
It was an inspiration. Now, I've gone back and read the book several times since then, and it really wasn't that inspiring to me, but it was at that time because I was living in Independence, Kansas, and here's this great promoter of shows, presenting shows at Carnegie Hall and the Metropolitan Opera and places all around the world, and, you know, he's always appearing at the opening and had his cape over his shoulders and his cane with the gold head on it, the silk top hat, and lots of press and lots of action. I thought, that's for me. I'll become the impresario of southeastern Kansas.
That seed was planted then in high school?
Right. So my first year in junior college, actually it was my second year, 1949, I listened to Leon McAuliffe as well on KVOO, and he had this great Western swing band. I wrote his manager, Mr. C.M. Cooksey, and told him I wanted to promote Leon in Independence. He'd never been there. We had a great auditorium. We made our deal, made the terms, and he came up. Leon did, and it was a fantastic crowd. Now, how did I promote that? I knew enough about selling and marketing from my folks' department store that I knew you had to advertise. If you had a good piece of product, you have to get it to people that are interested in buying that product. You know, that's the first rule in any kind of marketing. And then how do you do that? Well, I didn't take any chances. I did everything from posters. I put posters out everywhere. I advertised in the paper, on the radio station. And I had a list of customers of my dad's store. This was kind of like the first, for me anyway, marketing with direct mail. And I got some of my other friends that had a furniture store, and I used their list of customers, and I sent out a little postcard. That time the postcards were a penny, so you could send a ton of them. It was a big success. We were full, sold every ticket.
And you were how old at that time?
I was 19.
There was something natural about you, though, at that time that could pick up on all the nuances of promotion.
Well, I guess I've always been a promoter. Ever since I was a kid, I had the idea of doing something and creating an event. I didn't know it at that time, but I like to do events, and I still like to do events. That's my motto. Let's make an event out of it, like we are today. We're not just recording this. My wife, Manisa, is videotaping this, and we'll probably sell millions of them out there, you know, in the hinterlands.
Leon McAuliffe is your first act.
Right.
I bet he was surprised when he came to town.
He was, and Mr. Cooksey came up. Mr. Cooksey, at that time, went with Leon almost all the days, and he was there taking the tickets and counting the money, and then they'd drive back to Tulsa and Leon would do the show. So he was surprised, and we hit it off really well. As a result, I promoted a lot of dates with Leon. But from Leon, I got my confidence up, and I started promoting everything that I could feel would make some money in that town, including wrestling, circuses, an ice show. Independence happens to be a really good show town because it's kind of centered between Kansas City and Tulsa and Wichita on one side and Springfield and Joplin on the other. So there were a lot of bands that would come through. At that time, everybody traveled by bus. They would pick that kind of a halfway point to do. So I got good deals. I did a good job in a lot of places. I would do more business than they would do in the cities. So I had everybody from Stan Kenton to Count Basie to Woody Herman to Ray Anthony, Jimmy Dorsey, Carmen Cavallaro, all those big bands at that time that were traveling and doing the one-night circuit.
You obviously spun off Leon McAuliffe, and then you could tell the next act, well, I did this.
And right.
It began to build for you.
Right, and then that word gets around to the various booking agencies that here's a spot that you can make some money in.
Yeah.